How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Glad you saved? Well, I'm glad I'm saved. I want to report something to you that I feel compelled by the Lord to do. This past Friday morning, I got up and was nearly normal in my hands and could almost walk normal. And I had a very good day. Of course, through the course of the day, it has a tendency to get worse, but I'm having good days now where I wasn't having any before. I'm turning the corner and I'm getting better. And I'm in the process of a miracle. I'm in the process of being healed. And I'm even learning why this, I think, from the Holy Spirit, why this journey had to be for me. And so that's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting. And so I praise the Lord for that. Whoever said the Christian life is a way of escape don't know what they're talking about. They've never read this book. The model of how we relate to each other, and I wasn't going to do this, but the model of how we relate to each other is found in the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The way they relate to one another is how you and I should relate to one another. For example, Jesus said this, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear Him saying. Then the Father gave the Spirit. And when the Spirit came, the Holy Spirit said, I only come to bring testimony of Jesus Christ. And the Father said this, whoever comes to me through my Son, I will in no wise cast out. All three persons of the Godhead constantly deferring to the other one. And not one act from the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit was independent without all three. At creation, it says of Christ, nothing was made without Him. At creation, it was the Holy Spirit that moved over the face of the deep. It was the Father that spoke from heaven. You've heard me say this many times. For your salvation, it took the love of the Father, the blood of the Son, and the birthing power of the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Godhead at work in a single act, constantly deferring one to another. How we relate to each other is that we should constantly be serving each other, constantly deferring to each other. If that principle is violated, then dysfunction seeps its way into our family unit. Everybody say amen to that. Now that didn't cost you nothing, that was for free. All right, Revelation chapter 5 is where we're at. And today we're going to do things just a little bit different. Y'all do realize that I go at a breakneck speed in doing Scripture, right? You know that. I don't spend a great deal of time just in one verse. Y'all realize that? How many of you know? I will repent of that later. But what we've done in chapter 5 is we've given you the foundation through the first verse. Now, what we're going to do today is consider all of the first 5 verses of this chapter, okay? And we're going to pick up the pace a little bit, and we're going to... the word is flying. Look at that. I mean, I've got to get better at... I don't realize what I'm doing with these computer programs, but I'm trying. And I'm begging the Lord to bless the effort. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, this is the first 5 verses. Let's read it. I've got it up here on the screen. So listen to what it says. And then we're going to kind of give you a structure for these verses. And the main theme of what we're looking at in chapter 5. Now in chapter 4, it was the throne. It was what was coming out of the throne, which was starting judgment on the earth. Okay, that's what was getting ready to come from the throne in Revelation 4. In Revelation 5, it gives you the method by which judgment comes, and it's the opening of the book. Okay, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, but here's what it says. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. Extremely significant, so I will just back up to say this much. What does the right hand signify? You should know this by now. It signifies power. Okay, you can also, and I didn't go into this, but it also signifies authority. Anytime there's power, authority is associated with it. How many of you believe we are to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you know what that means? You're walking in the authority of the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, if all three persons of the Godhead cannot be isolated, if they're always together and at work in a single act, here's what it means. If you've been born again and you are a child of the King, that means you should walk in the authority of God Himself while on this earth. Did y'all hear that? That's the mandate for all believers, to walk in God-ordained authority. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do. Because you're to walk in the authority of the Son. This is manifest through the person of the Holy Spirit that is in us. Now, what kind of authority does He have? We read in other passages, He has authority over principalities. Are y'all following along? He has authority over dominions, over powers. No demonic force should ever take authority over a born-again child of the Lord. Y'all believe that? Now, how many of you believe that we're in a battle, a spiritual warfare that's kind of intensified? All right, so watch this. We are challenged now to take authority over those evil spirits and demonic imps that have an assignment against you to try to cause you to be distracted in the way. All of this is symbolized by the right hand. Okay? So, we saw in his right hand a book that was written within and on the backside, and this is something I want you to get. It was sealed. Okay, and we'll look at that a little bit deeper in a minute. It was sealed with seven seals. Now it gets to some interesting things. Listen to this. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. Did y'all hear that? I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. I would challenge every person in this building to do a Bible study on noise. You need to do a study on noise, how God uses noise. Did you know that there is a significance to how loud we proclaim the name of Christ? There's significance to that. This strong angel proclaims with a loud voice, and here's what he said, who is worthy to open the book? It's the book of verse 1 he's talking about. Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? So apparently when the book is sealed, you can't see what's in it. Would you agree with that? And here this strong angel is saying, we got to find somebody worthy to open this book and loose the seals. And it says this, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth. But listen, we could spend years on that section. But here's just one thing I want you to take away from it. This strong angel proclaimed so loudly that it reverberated not only to the inhabitants of the earth, but it reverberated even into the pits of hell. And it reverberated in all of heaven, crying out, who's worthy to open this book? No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much, John said, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Now this is significant. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, this is interesting because can I tell you the title and the name of the Lord Jesus now has changed in the book of Revelation. He's now called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Why is that significant? Because from here on, this is scripture that is relating to God's program to Israel, not to the church. Did y'all hear that? This is yet another reason why that I believe that we are living in the final seconds before Jesus is to return in the middle of the air and call the church home. I'm giving you a reason to get happy. Some of you look sad, so I'm giving you another reason to get happy here. You're not going to be here when such judgment is poured out from the throne of God onto planet Earth. You're going to be in heaven. Are y'all with me? Matter of fact, you're going to be there watching play out what we're reading about right now. You're going to hear the voice of the strong angel proclaim, who's worthy to open this book? Does that excite you? So John said he was called up to heaven. He's witnessing this as it's yet future. He begins to weep because nobody is worthy to open the book. And one of the elders says, don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereon. I want to give you just a little bit of an outline here to these verses. The book is the written authority of what is coming from the throne. The book is the written authority of what is coming from the throne. Now, I got to ask you a question again. How many of you believe that you and I are to manifest the authority of the Holy Spirit that's in us? Can I tell you the guidelines of your authority is in the book? I cannot tell you the significance in the Bible that books make. It's all through the Word of God, books. Something written. Matter of fact, one just comes to mind in Haggai where it says this, the prophet was told by the Lord, write down the vision that you have so they that read it can run this race. There is significance in you writing things down. There is significance in you writing down words God gave you. I want to challenge you this morning. This is a little practical side note. I want to challenge you that every time God speaks to you or you get an impression in your heart, write it down. Write it down. I'll guarantee you either days later, hours later, minutes later, or years later, what you've written down will come back and you'll say, hey, look at this. I'm actually living through this right now. And it'll be a living testimony to the power and authority of God in your life. Because anything that is written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit carries the authority of God. Everybody say amen to that. So the book that is written, it's written with authority of what is coming from the throne. Okay? This book contains what God's activity and His behavior is going to be like that is coming from the very throne of God. All of that's found in verse 1. Now watch this. The book is sealed from anyone being able to see what is inside of it. Now this is incredibly important. I want to read to you a passage or two in terms of this. And maybe you can flip there in your phone. How many of you got Bible apps on your phone? I know it'd be hard to do it any other way, but look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, right? Quickly, and keep this statement in mind. The book is sealed from anyone being able to see what is inside. This is a revelation that is carried out all through Scripture. I'll give you some other things about it, but I'm just going to briefly introduce this thought to you. We may be here for a while on this statement. we're probably going to come back to this statement because it's significant. I want to read to you Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. And the Bible says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." Did you know that there are some things that God wrote in His book that has been sealed from our understanding until now? Do you understand that? As a matter of fact, if you read all through the book of Daniel, you'll find that the revelation God gave Daniel was not necessarily for his time, though it was, but it was more for our time today. And then here's what that tells you. It tells you that history has a way of being cyclical in that it runs in cycles. And that's why it's so vitally significant for you to have the Holy Spirit to lead you into truth, because if you're not careful, you'll look at something and you'll say, "Well, that's already happened," when in fact it has, but it hasn't. Let me give you one illustration of that. There are many in this day that believe that the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled, that it happened in the first century when Titus came in and destroyed the temple in AD 70. And everybody says, that's when that the book of Revelation was fulfilled. I want to tell you something. There was a lot of practical implications even to that time and has been since that time. But through inspiration of the Scripture and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we can understand that this is yet future in our time. Daniel was told, seal up these words. Shut the words up. Seal the book even to the time of the end. And then it goes on to say this, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. How many of you see that? Now, can I just borrow your mind for a minute? The Scripture interprets itself if you'll listen to it. Daniel, shut up the words. Seal up these words until the time of the end. Then it gives us a description in the latter part of that verse what the time of the end is. For many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. I want to just throw this at you. Did you know that just a mere 120 years ago, people were riding horses to get where they went? Did y'all know that? Now you can get on an airplane and fly in the sky like a bird all the way around the world. What do you think they'd have said if back in, 1890, 1880, 1850, if you'd have said, there's coming a time when you're going to get into a metal machine that has wings on it like a bird and fly through the air? They'd have locked you up as a crazy person. Did you know that? One of the things that brought it to my mind was one of our cousins that lives up in Virginia sent on the KPS site the movie Sheffy. And we have that movie, and I was watching it because a friend of ours that preached in our church is in that movie. Matter of fact, Billy Kelly's in that movie. Walter Burrell's in that movie. And I was watching that movie, and it was about the biography of Robert Sheffy that was raised over where we was raised. And he was a circuit riding preacher on the camp meeting circuit. And they'd have camp meetings, and it's really about the death of the camp meetings. And I looked at how at one of the camp meetings, there was a horse-drawn carriage was coming in carrying one of them pump organs for music. And I thought, my, how far we've come. I think Joe Barrett told us not too long back that the computing power of one cell phone now is the equivalent of what was in Houston when they sent the first people to the moon. There's more computing power in a cell phone now than what they had available to them then. What is God saying to us in Daniel 12? He says this time of the end is a time when knowledge will increase. We just learned this week, I forget now the country, it slipped my mind, has got a supersonic missile that travels at 15 times the speed of sound. Think of that. We're living in the day now where knowledge is increasing. At our fingertips, we can ask Siri, or we can Google, or you can Alexa, or I don't know how many other things that you can do. Ask him just about any question you want, and right there you have the answer, the response. We're living in these very times that Daniel was teaching us about. Now I want you to look at Isaiah 29, if you will. Isaiah 29, verse 11. I want to read to you two verses there, and here's what it says, because I want you to get the principle of the matter. What was Daniel told? Daniel was told, seal up these words until the time of the end. And that time of the end is marked by knowledge, supernatural knowledge being available. Isaiah 29, 11 says this, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. Look at the next verse, verse 12. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. What powerful verses those are. To one man it was given who is learned, but he said, I can't read the book because it's sealed up. To another one, he can open the seals, but he still can't understand it because he's not learned. Can I tell you that unfortunately you and I are living in a time where you can deliver truth, but the truth has been sealed up to the eyes of many and they cannot see it. You can deliver truth, but unless there is the Holy Spirit within you to receive it, you have no idea of what it's saying. So during a time where knowledge has increased, we're living in the most insane environment in the history of the world. During a time when knowledge has increased, we are living at the dumbest moment in the history of the world. Unfortunately, we're living in a time where you just can't teach ignorance. It's like we've woken up and taken a stupid pill. And you hand someone the truth and they say, I cannot conceive of that. I'm unlearned to what you're saying. Or maybe it's been sealed up and I can't even see it. One of the greatest mysteries of the Scripture, everybody say I'm listening. One of the greatest mysteries of the Scripture is me and you. We're the greatest secret that God ever held in His heart. He didn't reveal the secret of the church until the Apostle Paul came along. I have some assumptions about that. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, if you'll remember, the vision was so glorious he was blinded for 3 days. He couldn't see physically. During the process of those 3 days of physical blindness, the eyes of his spirit was opened to the point that he received even the deepest secret of the heart of God, which was this secret of the church. His physical vision was then restored, and he comes out and he begins to proclaim this new sounding gospel that we're saved by grace through faith. And it's given to the whole world. He starts preaching that, and Peter was unlearned to these mysteries. The other apostles was unlearned, and Paul was creating quite a ruckus. And so they called Paul, and they said, you're going to have to come and explain these things to us. Paul shows up, and he begins to tell them, hey, here's what God told me. It's salvation's by grace through faith. It's not of works. It's by grace through faith, and it's given to the whole world. And Peter didn't understand it to the point that they got into an argument and had to part ways. Why? Because Peter couldn't see. And so Paul goes to all the Jews and he begins to tell the Jews, hey, it's by grace through faith. And none of them would listen to him. And so Paul finally said this at the end of the book of Acts. He said, you know what? You won't listen to me. You don't believe what I'm saying. I'm going to go to a crowd that will hear it. They will see it and they will understand it. And the gospel began to spread to the world. And you and I are participants of the greatest secret God ever held in his heart. And here's what I'm learning now. Through the years I've preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the years I've preached the gospel of the grace of God. Just last Sunday, I told you, or the week before one, I told you of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How that he died. And if you're going to live out the gospel, we're not dead enough. You remember? How that he was buried. And if you're going to live out the gospel, you're not buried enough. And how that he arose again. And if you're going to live out the gospel, you're not resurrected enough. We're a work in progress. Everybody say amen to that. I've been preaching the gospel for years. And here's where I'm at my age now and with the times we're living in. There is a message to proclaim. You know what the message is? Prepare to meet God. Jesus is coming in the middle of the air. You better get ready. Get your house in order. Get things right between you and the Lord because time's running out. And in our very lifetime, we might be on the welcoming committee to welcome Jesus back to in the middle of the air. And we're going to rise to meet him in the middle of the air. And people look at me like, you don't know what you're talking about. No, listen, I know what I'm talking about, but it's been sealed to you. And you're unlearned because you're not relating to the Holy Spirit in the way that you should. If we really believed that our time was nigh and our redemption was drawing nigh, we would do whatever is within our power to live out what God's destiny is for our life. We wouldn't have time for other things. All we would do is just concentrate on the Lord. Well, you say, well, now that's just being too heavenly minded. I've heard that statement 100 times. You're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. That's a bunch of hogwash. I don't want to be earthly good. I want to be of heavenly value. Earth will take care of itself. I'm preparing for heaven. My point is that much of the book has been sealed from your eyes. Much of the book has been kept from you, maybe because spiritually you're unlearned. Maybe because you're having to be fed with milk instead of meat. You can see all of the ways you can take this statement. You can see all, you know, time wouldn't allow us to listen, there's even a place in the scripture that calls people unskillful in the Word of God. Why in the very last seconds before Jesus would come back would we be unskillful when everything you need is at the touch of your fingers on your telephone to study the Word of God? Did you know that you can even trace back to the original language all that was written in the Word of God? It's all at the power of your computer. Won't cost you a dime. Can you hear what I'm saying? But yet people are unskillful in the Word of God, unlearned according to the Scripture, and most of the Word of God is sealed from our vision. I want to tell you, there's treasures and gems and jewels in the Word of God. There is the authority of God to be released to all of us if we'll just open up the treasure of the Word of God and say to the Holy Spirit, teach me all truth, because that's what His purpose is. To lead us into all truth. You don't have need of me teaching you or Joe Barrett teaching you when you can have the Holy Spirit to teach you. I mean, all we're supposed to really do is show up and cheerlead a little bit. That's all we're here to do. It's the Holy Spirit to teach you truth. That's exactly, boy, you can't let, don't rely on me. test everything I say. I've settled some things in my heart. I know the path I'm on. I know the course I'm supposed to walk out, and that's what I'm responsible for. And you can only be responsible for you. Please say amen to that truth right there. You cannot stand for someone else. You must stand for you. The book is sealed from anyone being able to see what is inside. Much of what God has done down through history has been sealed, and this is what makes this time so exciting that we're living in. Listen to this. Now, all of what God has done is before our eyes. We're living in the times that has been previously sealed from our vision, and it's all recorded in the Word of God. A proclamation from a strong angel in verse 2. This announcement is a call as well as a statement. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? I'm trying to give you some practical things here. We know that in this passage, the lion of the tribe of Judah was worthy to come and loose the seals. Now, I'm fixing to give you something here, and I'm just praying that God will magnify this in your hearts to where you'll see this, okay? I'm fixing to declare something to you, and I know that I can declare this on the authority of the Word of God. How many of you know that you know that you know you've been saved? Listen to this. Are you ready? You have the authority to loose the seals of the written Word of God and understand it. I don't know that you didn't catch me. It did. And it really did. It went right square over top of you. You are worthy to loose the seals of the written Word of God and not only understand it, but proclaim it for yourself. You. As a matter of fact, God chose you for such a purpose. Can I tell you, your belief of your own unworthiness is a lie from Satan. It is not a sign of humility. It's false pride. That's all it is. Well, watch this. When you proclaim that you are unworthy, you are proclaiming that Christ is unworthy if you're saved. See, watch. Let me clear something up. We're all wicked. Matter of fact, we are all past fixing ourselves. You can't be fixed. You're too messed up. I'm too messed up. I can't be fixed. See, that's the revelation of salvation. This is the depth of salvation I'm fixing to give you. You're so messed up that you cannot be fixed. You must be replaced. That was God's plan. So He replaces you with His Son Jesus while He arranges for you a brand new body. So you've been replaced with Jesus. So to declare that you're unworthy is to declare Him as unworthy. This is where psychology really gets things messed up. They try to build self-esteem. You can't esteem self if self is supposed to be dead. A believer walks in Christ-esteem. Hello? That's a lot more healthy. What? That even frees you of this thing of having to impress God because you're not impressive. See? It's all about the finished work of Jesus Christ. So if you're beyond repair, and guess what? We all are, then let's try being replaced. So, in other words, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me and gave Himself for me. Hello? So we reckon ourselves as dead, buried, and raised to walk in newness of life. Behold, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I've been replaced. It's no more me. It's all Him. That's victory. That's victory. So I'm here to declare to you with a loud voice, by the authority of a strong angel, that you are worthy to take the book and open it up and your eyes be opened, right? Do y'all even believe this Bible I'm preaching? Do you believe it? It's for you that I say these things. I already know this stuff. I could have stayed at home. I just come to tell you. I need to see the countenance on your face light up like you say, hey, wait a minute, I'm worthy. Hey, if I'm worthy, that means I've been replaced. And that old me that Satan tries to convince me that I am, I ain't anymore. I am the power of the living God as He flows and breathes in me through the Holy Spirit. That is what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Thank God the very secrets of the heart of God can be mine and yours. I don't know if you get that. The very secrets God holds in His heart, you can know them. You can know them. And it'll get you to the point that you're just plumb blind to everything around you, just like Paul was. I mean, things be going just all crazy and you're sitting around. I didn't even notice that. I've been so wrapped up in the glory of what this verse of Scripture says. See that? Man, God did something this week and He just breathed this stuff. Listen, can I tell you, this may be small to y'all. But Friday morning when I got up, I was going down the road and my hands, I didn't have gloves on. And normally I have to wear gloves all the time. I sleep in them. I have to. I can't stand my fingers to touch each other. That's why I'm playing different instruments. I'm having to learn how to play different instruments because I can't stand for my hands to touch strings and stuff. Okay, and listen, Friday morning I got up and I thought, boy, I'm almost better. I'm almost better. And I started thinking about Word of God stuff. Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for me. Jehovah, the one who heals. Oh, and all that stuff sort of flooding back in my mind. And God began to reveal to me secrets. I'm not allowed to tell you yet, but God began to reveal to me secrets as to why I've had to walk through here. Hey, Sharon, there's a purpose, honey. There's a reason. It's God ordained. And as we are more replaced, even His secrets become known to us. Isn't that good? That's guidance for life, if you'll take it. How many of you have heard what I've said? Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word. And teach us truth now from this that we'll never forget. We'll give You praise for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.